God's name be glorified. For today's short time of meditation, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 18, verse 16 to 33. Genesis chapter 18, verse 16 to 33. Then the men rose from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." The Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know." Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, "Would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 writers that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the writers with the wicked, so that the writers should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" So the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 writers within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake." Then Abraham answered and said, Indeed now I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous, would you destroy all of the city for lack of 5? So he said, "If I find there 45, I will not destroy it." And he spoke to him yet again and said, "Suppose there should be 40 found there." So he said, "I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said, "Let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there." So he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Indeed now I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there." So he said, "I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Then he said, "Let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. May the Lord bless the reading of this verse. When we go through the background of this passage, starting from verse chapter 18, we can see there the Lord appeared unto Abraham by the terebinth trees of Mamre. He was sitting in the tent door when he lifted up his eyes, he saw 3 men standing by him. And later we can see how Abraham received the 3 men and showed hospitality with a wholeheartedness. After having a meal, we can see the conversation that was taking place between Abraham and the men. And when we read from verse 9 to 33, the whole of the verses there, we can see the conversation that is taking place between Abraham and the men. And the first part of conversation we can see from verse 9 to 15, where the Lord gives assurance to Abraham about the promised son. And this is the fourth time where we can see the Lord is promising or is giving a promise to Abraham. The initial promise we can see in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2 and 3. The second we can see in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1 to 5, where God's covenant, God is doing a covenant with Abraham. And the third we can see in Genesis chapter 17 verse 1 to 21, the signs of God's covenant. And the fourth is the one in chapter 18, where the final reinforcement of the promised son is being given to Abraham. And after that, in verse 14, he says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Is anything too hard for the Lord? We know that the first time when the promise was given in chapter 12, we can see his age was 75. And now in this chapter 18, we can see his age is 99. Now, Abraham waited for almost 24 years for the promise to be fulfilled. And here we can see still the God is asking or telling him, is anything too hard for the Lord? We can see the faithfulness of Abraham even at this point of time. And then when we read from verse 16, the verses which we read just now, there we can see the men rose up and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went and sent them on the way. And verse 17 and 19, when we read there, we can see the insight of God's thought. And there we can see that what the Lord says is, Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. All the nations of the earth should be blessed in him. That's what the Lord says about Abraham, or that insight which God is having about Abraham. And then he says over there, a verse which says, I know him. What a great verse it is to see where he says, I know him. And here we can see God's divine confidence in Abraham. That's a tribute of faithfulness, obedience, and consistency. And what he says is that he may command his children and his household after him. Keep the way of the Lord. Do righteous and justice. Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Here we can see the confidence or the trust that the Lord is having upon Abraham, where he says, I know him. What about us if God wants to say, I know David? What he wants to give us as an explanation. Here when we see, when he talks about Abraham, he says, I know him, because he says that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord, to do righteous and justice. Going further, we can see from verse 20 to 21, where the God reveals his purpose to Abraham. And in verse 22, we read, then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Here we can see the men turned away and went, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. When we read the initial, when we go to chapter 18 and verse 2, there we can see Abraham, when he lifted up his head, he saw three men standing by him. And when we see in verse 16, there we can see the men rose there. And when we come to Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1, there we can see out of three men, that says, now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening. We understand out of the three men, two were the angels, because in chapter 19 verse 1 it says, now the two angels came to Sodom. And throughout the passage of 18, there we can see multiple times the word the Lord is being used. In chapter the verse 1 of chapter 18, it says, the Lord appeared to him. And verse 3 it says, and said, my Lord. In verse 13 it says, and the Lord said to Abraham. Verse 17 it says, and the Lord said. Verse 20 it says, and the Lord said. And verse 23 just now we read, Abraham stood before the Lord. And going forward again three times we can see the word used, Lord. When we understand, when we go through this, we understand out of three men, two were the angels. The third person could be our Lord Jesus Christ. When I was going through the commentaries and few of the commentaries, I understood like it might be probably the Lord Jesus Christ which is being mentioned over here. Not only that, when we read from verse 23 down, we can see that Abraham starts his conversation with the Lord, and he puts forth a question before the Lord. He says, would he also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Would he destroy the righteous with the wicked? And we can see the answer in verse 25. Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked. so that the righteous should be as the wicked, far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Here we can see verse 25. When you understand, when you go through the passage, we can answer verse 25 is a key verse to this passage. And where the Lord says, the key verse of over here is, to slay, far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And when we read Psalms 34 and verse 15, there it says, Psalms 34:15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. In Psalms 34, the same Psalms 34 verse 19, there it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Here we can understand the writers will have afflictions because there will be many afflictions for the writers, but the Lord delivers them. In this world, the children of God might face so many troubles and trials, but we need to understand one thing. The Lord is there to deliver them. And not only that, even in this wilderness journey, the eyes of the Lord is upon the writers. And when we read from verse 26 to verse 32, we can see six times Abraham is talking to Lord to spare the place of Sodom for the sake of the righteous people. Six times. And when we come to verse 33, there we can see finally the Lord went his way as soon as he finished the conversation with Abraham, and Abraham also returned to the place. Today I would like to bring before you all four spiritual lessons from this passage. There are many, but just four spiritual lessons from this passage. The first thing we can see is God reveals his purpose to his friends. God reveals his purpose to his friends. When we read verse 17-18, there we can see Lord says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great nation, mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. When we read Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 8, Isaiah 41 and verse 8, there it says, but you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. Here it says, Abraham, my friend. When we read James chapter 2 and verse 23, James chapter 2 and verse 23, there it says, and the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Here we can see Abraham is known as the friend of God. And God reveals his purpose to his friend. The Lord shares the secret with her friends. When we read Psalms 25 verse 14, there it says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show him his covenant. One more verse, John chapter 15 and verse 15. John chapter 15 and verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. But I called you friends. Here we can see God, we are no longer called as a slave. We have been called as his friends because he reveals the secret to his friends. Even in our day-to-day life, when we see, everyone has a friend. Everyone has an intimate person with whom we share our personal things. We don't go and share our personal things to a stranger. And here it said, God reveals all his purposes to his friends. In the same way, on what we need to do is, we need to be righteous in the presence of God. We need to walk according to his plan and purpose so that we know what is God's purpose in our life. For the people of God, for the people in the time of during those days, Sodom might be just a destruction of an unfortunate thing that has happened. But Abraham knew that it was not a natural disaster, but it was the judgment which the Lord has brought on that place. Even today's world, we can see when things go, when natural calamities and things go wrong around, or the war and things which takes place around us, people feel that it's a natural thing which is happening. Even when the geologists, when they have various explanations to whatever flood or whatever happens, but we know that it's all happening as the plan, it's all happening as per the plan of God. When we read Isaiah chapter 45, Isaiah 45 and verse 6 and 7. That they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. The last part it says, I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all those things. Only a children of God will know that it's something which is not happening on its own. There's a God who knows what is happening around. He's the master of our creator. He's the master of the creator. He knows what is happening in this earth. Nothing is happening without his knowledge. And even whatever war is happening, whatever is happening around us, we know that it's a sign of our Lord Jesus Christ coming soon. The second thing what I'd like to bring to your attention is God's purpose is handed down through the families of his elect. God's purpose is handed down through the families of elect. When you read verse 19 of chapter 18, Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, there it says, "For I know him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteous and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." Here we can see the Lord is speaking about Abraham and says, Abraham will command his children and his family members to keep the way of the Lord, to do righteous and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. Here we can see God's sovereign grace and covenant with Abraham, and requirement for Abraham so that God's covenant is promised, God's covenant promises would be fulfilled. When we read Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2 and 3, there we can see where the God promises Abraham, "I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and make you a great name, and you shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth be blessed." We understand that family is an essential part. And it's as per God's purpose and plan. Parents whom God has chosen have been called and have been called to the salvation are responsible to teach their children to live according to God's way, including the importance of prayer. If we are not praying with our children and not showing them how to take care of how the God has done all the things in our life in prayer, we are not faithful to hand off what we understand or what is God's purpose in our life. When we look back into our own lives, especially from the last generation, those who are born again, those who are having a born again parents, we know that how our parents taught us to know or to grow in the fear of the Lord. There's so many things which we learned in our young days and what we are doing. Can we ask a question to ourselves? Are we teaching what we learned from our parents to our children? I know many a times we do fail because of the worldly things, because of the work and because of so many other things. But here we can see what's said about Abraham. What God says about Abraham is, I know him in order that he may command his children. Are we commanding our children? And that only, not only that, he says, and his household after him. Now what does he command his children? to keep the way of the Lord, to do righteous and justice. What a great thing it is for the Lord to say about Abraham. Can the Lord say about us the same thing? I know David, he is a man who can pass on whatever he has learned. He can command his children, or he can do, or he can show that righteousness, justice to his children. We need to examine ourselves. I know many a times we fail, but we can pray to the Lord that he might help us to keep up that standard of God, to teach us our children about the love of God. Include them in a family prayer. Whatever small things it is, let it be the meetings, let it be church assembly gatherings, let it be a prayer meeting, whatever it is, taking children along to show them what we learned from our parents. May the Lord enable us to do that in the days to come. The third thing what I'd like to bring to your notice is God's grace encourages us to draw near in prayer. God's grace encourages us to draw near in prayer. In verse 23, it says, "And Abraham came near and said." And Abraham came near and said. When you go through the passage here, most of the time we feel that it's a conversation which is being initiated by Abraham. But when we look into that carefully, we can see that it was the Lord who initiated the subject first. Later, when we come in verse 22, there we can see the men turned away and went to Sodom. But Abraham stood before the Lord. We can see that when the men left, the Lord didn't leave. The Lord was still standing there. Because the Lord knew that Abraham will have something to speak. When the men left, the Lord still stood with Abraham. Abraham's prayer, we know that when you go through the passage, we can understand. Abraham's prayer wasn't that perfect but his prayer was humble. Even though his prayer was not perfect, it was humble. Because when we see in verse 25, the last part, it says, "Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord is telling to Abraham, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? But at the same time, when we come to verse 27, the first part, it says, where we can see the humble nature of Abraham, where he says, Indeed now I who am but dust and ash, have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. He understands his weakness and he prays to the Lord. And Abraham over here was very much concerned if God would strike the righteous along with the wicked. Abraham was concerned if the God's temporary judgment sometimes might both strike the righteous and the wicked. And then the Lord says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Here, we can see that we know many a times even we are weak in our prayer life. But the Lord knows us. The Lord knows our weakness. Even in the weakness, when we talk to God, God is there to answer us. God knows all our personal needs. Just like over here we saw, Lord stood before Abraham. God knows what is going on in our personal life. God knows what are the things that are needed. But still we can see over here, the Lord stood before Abraham. So God knows our needs, and he wants us to pray. He's putting forth before us, and he wants us to talk to our Lord and to pray to him. God's grace encourages us to draw closer to him in prayers. Finally, we can see over here the final point what I'd like to share with you is we need to pray for others. In the previous passage, we can see that the Lord's promise to Abraham, just as we read in chapter 12, God has promised Abraham what all things he's going to do for Abraham. And not only that, he also remembers all the promises that the Lord has given to him, the covenant which the Lord has given to him. Still, when Lord reveals him the plan about the destruction of Sodom, we can see here he's praying for deliverance of the righteous. Abraham knew that he is in a safe zone. Abraham knew that God has promised so many things. Abraham knew what is going to happen to him. Still, when he heard about Sodom, the judgment that is going to come upon Sodom, He prayed to the Lord. He shows his concern towards Sodom, the judgment that is going to come upon them. We know as children of God, our salvation is secured. We know very well our salvation is secured. We know the blessings which the Lord has blessed us. Many times we do sing, count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise what the Lord has done. We know the Lord is being blessing us. The Lord is taking care of us. We are in a safe zone of that promised land. But are we praying for this land? When we see around us, we can see the judgment. We know that there's a day which is going to come. The judgment is going to fall upon this land. Are we praying for the perishing souls? Are we involved in the gospel activities that are there in the assembly? We need to examine ourselves. How are we involved in the gospel activities? Or in it can be any way. It's not necessarily a small, one thing. There may be different ways. It can be a tract distribution. It can be a gospel meeting. It can be a prayer. It can be sharing of in the workplace, sharing of the gospel. It can be different ways. But are we doing it? We need to examine ourselves. May the Lord enable us in the days to come that we may pray for others. We need to pray for others. Abraham, we can see over here, Abraham prayed for Sodom. Abraham was in a safe land, but still he prayed for the Sodom because he knew there's a judgment going to come upon that land. He knew what is going to happen on that land. He knew the people over there, but still we can see he was praying for that place, Sodom. And not only that, when we pray to God, it's irrespective of what the answer is, we need to still pray. Now, when Abraham prayed over here, Abraham didn't knew what is going to happen in that place. In this passage, you can see Abraham is interceding for Sodom. He knew that Lot, his nephew, lives in Sodom. He interceded and prayed to the Lord for him. But what did Abraham see? When we come to verse 19 and verse 27, that's what Abraham saw for his prayer. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 27 and 29. Sorry, 27 to 29. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and towards all the land of the plain. And he saw, behold, the smoke of the land which went up like the smoke of a furnace. What Abraham saw was the smoke of the land which went up like the smoke of the furnace. Nowhere after this passage we can see there's a conversation which has taken place between Lot and Abraham. This is the last conversation where we can see is only when Lot is interceding or Lot is praying. Abraham is praying to the Lord about redemption or about the saving of the land of Sodom. And what Abraham saw was in the morning that there was a smoke of the land which went up like the smoke of a furnace. Many times we can't see what's happening or how the Lord is working in others' life when we pray, when we share the gospel. We don't know. We don't know the result of it. But we know in this chapter 19 that God has saved Lot, his wife, and the two children. Now there's another. The few of the commentaries also talks about the righteousness of Lot and the wife and the children. We don't know, but it says like we do know like Lot was a righteous man, but there's still a doubt about the wife and the children. But we need to do. But here we can see when God saved Lot and Lot, the wife and the children. It was the God's. That's a unique way in which the Lord saves. It's not only the righteous. He takes care of the whole family. Many times we don't know the ways in which God works when we pray to the Lord. May the Lord enable us in the days to come to pray for others. We need to be burdened for others. May the Lord enable us in the days to come near in prayers. May the Lord enable us to teach our children and family to keep the way of the Lord, to obey God and to be righteous, to be a good friend of the Lord. May His name be glorified. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, our Father, we do praise and thank you for this time which thou hast given us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for helping us this morning to worship Thee, Lord. And as after that, Lord, this time as we are going to the Word of God, thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, Lord. Pray that in the days to come, we might pray for others. Just like Abraham, he prayed for Sodom, Lord. Pray that in the days to come, we might pray for our nation. And also be burdened for the people around us. And not only that, we pray and pray that we might spend our time, we might come closer to Thee in prayer. And also, as we learned, that we may teach our children and family to keep the way of the Lord and also be obedient and be righteous in the presence of God. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, Lord. Pray that you may bless this verse. We ask this in and to the most precious name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.